Adam Lind is with us. And again, the advice is always, if you want to talk to him, call early, because the phone lines do tend to get plugged up a little bit later on and we can't get to everybody. So if you're interested in talking to Adam Lind, now would be a good time to call. Adam, thanks so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. I know it's a busier off season than usual. You got the new baby around, and congratulations on that. And again, we appreciate your time.
Yeah, good to hear you, Mike.
It's good to hear you too. It's been a while. So tell us about the baby.
She's talking and walking already. She's, I think she already knows how to email and stuff.
That's fantastic.
She's good. She, you know, she sleeps through the night, so that's good, but she cries a lot.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah.
It's so I'm assuming sleep is at a premium. It's a good thing, and there's not a lot of time for playoff baseball, I'm sure. But what do you think of this story about the Red Sox maybe being interested in going after John Farrell? I guess you'd kind of expect it since he worked there for so long.
Well, to be honest with you, the first time I heard of it was when I was waiting to be on the line with you. So, you know, it's not really that surprising to me. I think whenever Boston has an opening for a player or a staff position, I think it's pretty standard for them to always peek around for all their options. And, you know, John knows those players in the clubhouse. So, you know, it's not really a big surprise to me that he would be linked to that job.
John Farrell, for you, was your third big league manager. You were up and down a lot when John Gibbons was here. And then when Cito came back, you came back and immediately and permanently. And now you had a year with John. Tell us a little bit about Farrell's style, as far as you were concerned, about him running the show. What'd you think for a rookie skipper?
Well, I think, you know, you were there every day, so, you know, but I think he did a great job with trying to instill a new personality into our clubhouse and throughout the whole organization. But we're just going to be more a complete team. But it was his first year. I think he did a good job, but, you know, I look forward to next year, hopefully, I guess, next year with him, because I really enjoyed my time with him. I think it was very professional and extremely, you know, he was really involved with us as a team. And then I think, especially with the pitchers, you know, he did a great job with them. But, you know, as far as it was his first year dealing with hitters, and I think he did a lot of observing and he learned a lot from us. So, you know, I think next year our relationships will still continue to grow as being a kind of a pitching coach manager working with hitters.
Yeah, it's certainly different. And he said, too, that he's gone from trying to, you know, the only thing he was thinking about as far as hitters were concerned was how to get you out. And he had to go to a whole different way of thinking as far as, you know, helping you guys and putting you in your best positions to succeed. And to that end, as far as you're concerned, anyway, he decided pretty early in spring training that you were going to be the cleanup hitter behind Jose Bautista, and you had your fantastic runs and you had your rough times this season, but for all but six of your starts, there you were batting fourth, game in and game out. And you know, a lot of managers, Cito said this and Farrell said this too, guys like to be comfortable enough that they don't even have to look. They know the everyday players. They know where they're going to be when they're going to be in the lineup. Was that helpful to you, especially in your case? Because there was that whole big story in the spring about hitting cleanup and whether you liked it or not and all of that stuff. But was it helpful to you that you were in the same spot every day, that you didn't have to worry about that?
Well, he did a great job of with every player. You know, if you had a day off, he'd tell you. There was never any, you know, guessing games when you were going to play or when you were going to have a day off. But, you know, when I was going good, there, you know, of course I was going to be in there and playing every day, so there really wasn't an issue. And at the end, like you said, there were some rough times. And, you know, whenever he gave me a day off, he let me know, and it was nice. And, you know, at the end of the year, we had David Cooper, and it was probably good to get him some playing time too. But you're right, you know, he did a good job with letting everybody you know, the ins and outs of the games, and you know, the regular fan or any fan doesn't really know what goes on in the clubhouse. And he did a good job of letting every player know what was going on with that particular day or the situation at hand.
Well, with Adam Lind, and the phone lines are open. We're taking your calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590 if you want your chance to talk to Adam. Before I get to the first call, just want to ask you about you and your year. And, you know, the power numbers were there, 26 homers, 87 RBIs. You missed almost 40 games. So when you prorate those numbers, that's close to 35 and 110 over a full season, even though the batting average wasn't where you wanted, the on-base percentage certainly wasn't where you wanted. The power numbers and the run production numbers were quite lovely. But how much of the stories that have come out in the offseason about the moving to first base and that was more of a physical struggle than you had thought it was going to be, and that your back was still bothering you even after you came back, how much of that stuff had to do with the year that you had?
Well, I think it's a lot of experience. You know, even when I played every day in the outfield in the minor leagues and throughout the first part of my big league career, the outfield isn't nearly as involved as you are when you play first base. And I don't necessarily think it was the whole physical side of it that got to me. You know, it was the daily grind of having to be locked in every single pitch at first base. When you are an outfielder, especially when you have guys, when I played left field, like Doc and Sean Markham, you know, you could go a whole series without getting a ball hit to you. So now, you know, having to be completely locked in every pitch and every day throughout 6 months or 5 months because of the other month. But, you know, I think that was all part of learning experiences, how to pace yourself for a whole season. And like I said, I don't think the physical part of it was a question. It was just, you know, my mind had never gone through anything like that before. And, you know, I learned a lot, and I'm excited for next year to put on the field what I learned this year.
Vernon Wells used to say that on days when Roy Halladay pitched, he could take a lawn chair out with him to center field.
He could probably take a lawn chair and a margarita out there.
And it's true. You do kind of get a day off when guys like that are pitching. We have callers on the line waiting to talk to Adam Lind, and we have Adam with us as we get you set for Game 4 of the World Series. So let's get to it. Corey is in Toronto. Corey, say hello to Adam Lind.
How you doing, Adam?
What's up, Corey?
Well, I got two comments. First, I want to talk about the policy of the Jays, where they're saying they're not going to get in the way of managers leaving or any personnel. But I have a problem with it. I just don't think that we should give away someone that valuable. You know, I believe he's doing well like this for first year for the Jays. You know, and you know, sure, we didn't get the guy Lou Piniella last time, and we ended up with Cito, which is great. But I just don't think that that's the right move. You should always ask another team for something back. You know, so that's that comment. That's fine. But Lind, great for first base. And, you know, I watched when you first got in there, and, you know, you had your rough moments, but you seem to be doing well right now. And I think you're only going to get better and better as we go. You'll probably be one of the better first basemen in the league, I think. It looks like it. You got down the defense. It looks fine. So, you know, sky's the limit for you.
Well, I appreciate the compliment. But as far as John, you know, or any member of our organization, you know, if they want to go somewhere else, let them go. Because if they don't want to be here, then it's not really good for anybody in our organization. So, but I don't think John's like that. I mean, John's a stand-up guy, and I think he really enjoyed himself this past summer with our team, and you know, all our relationships grew a lot with him throughout the course of the season. And I don't think, I mean, I don't know, he might want to go to Boston, but I think he really enjoys his time here, and I think he likes the future that we have. So
yeah, we had
him. But at the end of the day, if you don't want to be here, then I agree with Alex, let him go.
Yeah, and you know, we had him on Wednesday before Game 1 of the World Series, and no indication, no hint. And he was talking about the future, and he was talking about all the things he liked about this team. So it really does seem like he's pretty fully invested right now in in being a Blue Jay. As far as the defense and as far as first base, I don't agree with Corey that you were rough early on. It looked like it was about as seamless as it could be, even last September and throughout the course of spring training. I mean, you put your work in. There's no question about that. But, it didn't look like there was even a play on which you looked uncomfortable at first base.
Well, I think for me, growing up, I always wanted to be a shortstop or second baseman. So I always took a lot of ground balls growing up. And in the fall when you're in college, you kind of have like optional/mandatory practices. And I'd always take ground balls with shortstop. So I know I could do it. You know, it was just all the people in Toronto who saw me play outfield know that I'm not the most graceful person. But I think playing first base made those opinions change because I think I have pretty good hands and I can throw and I can catch. And, you know, I really relish the opportunity to get to play there to show the fact that I am a good defensive position player.
Yeah, and I think you certainly did show it. We're with Adam Lind. Lines are open, and when we come back, less of me, more of you, 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. It is the Blue Jay A Day pregame show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
There's a high fly ball hit to deep right center field. Long run, Nick Swisher still running out of room. There she goes. Number 25 for Adam Lind.
There's Jerry Howarth with the call. Adam Lind's 25th and penultimate home run of the season. He wound up with 26 and 87 runs batted in, almost exclusively out of the cleanup spot for the Blue Jays this season. That was home run, as I mentioned, number 25 and number 26 would come just a little bit later on that night. A two-homer game for Adam back on September the 18th at Rogers Center as part of a 3-0 win over the New York Yankees with Brandon Morrow and Frank Francisco doing the throwing. You're obviously, Adam is with us right now, taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, *590, and 1-888-666-0590. Obviously, you remember that day. A couple of home runs against the Yankees is always a lovely thing to have in your back pocket.
Yeah, it's always fun to do well against the Yankees. My sister lives in New Jersey, so she works with a bunch of people from New York, and they're all Yankee fans, so it's always good to represent my sister well, so when she goes to work, she can do all the dogging to all her coworkers and not getting it all put on her.
That sounds fantastic. We are in the second segment, and the second segment is less me and more of your phone call, so let's get right to it. Roger is in Brampton. Roger, you're on with Adam Lind.
Hey, Adam. A couple of things that you mentioned. One, I think as a fan of the Jays for many decades in baseball, I think your teammates, I know the fans, love your glove. It's beautiful. also, you mentioned earlier about mental fatigue, and I wonder if, in hearing many other players discuss fatigue during the season, many have said that they've thought that physical conditioning, not strength training, but physical conditioning has helped them battle the mental aspect of the game. And I don't know if it's something that you've already made plans to work on in the off season.
And yeah, you know, I met with
your the back end of the season next year.
I think he's done.
So, yeah, you know, I've talked with our weightlifting coach and our trainers, and we've set out a plan for me how to cope with the back issue that I had. And, you know, the main thing right now is recovery, as is for every baseball player right now, just kind of get away and enjoy a month and a half of the off season before you start getting back into the, not the swing of things as far as baseball, but the whole, as what you talked about, the whole preparation for a season. And, you know, it takes a good 3 months of training to be prepared for the whole big league season.
How tough was it with the back. I mean, I remember talking to you the day after it happened. You came out in the middle of the Verlander no-hitter and wound up being out for a while after that. But you had said that it's never happened to you before, and I know that, you know, having gone through it myself, you kind of feel like, well, it's not going to take that long, and I'm going to be ready fine. But anything can set it off again or can set you back a little bit, and you wound up being out, obviously, a lot longer than you or anybody else expected you would be. How tough was it to cope with over the course of the season, and are you now at a point where you're completely fine and it's not bothering you at all at the moment?
Well, at the moment, I'm pretty good, as I could imagine a lot of other baseball players are right now. But, you know, it was just a lot of maintenance throughout the course of the season. You know, when I'd wake up in the morning or at the beginning of batting practice, it's kind of when it would bother me. But by game time started, I was nice and warm, had my treatments done to me, get all those muscles loosened up in there, and, you know, I felt pretty good. But that's the key thing now, pretty much for the rest of my career, that I'm going to have to stay on top of is the maintenance. It's like when NFL players sprain their ankles, and I guess this is a thing I've heard, and they sprain their ankles, and then it comes back even stronger than it did before. So that's the plan right now, is that all the other muscles can compensate for the specific area that was injured and keep it nice and locked in for years to come.
Yeah, that would certainly be
not fun.
No,
it was not fun.
I'm right with you. It's definitely not fun. 416-870-0590 *590 on the cell. Long distance 1-888-666-0590 to talk to Adam Lind. The Cardinals and the Rangers getting set to go in Texas, a place Adam Lind absolutely loves to hit. St. Louis leads 2-1. Albert Pujols loves to hit there too. He hit 3 home runs yesterday as part of a 5-hit, 6 RBI day, which was the best game ever in the history of the World Series for any one particular hitter. Pujols took me off my train of thought. Can't remember where I was going. So let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Robin in Barrie. Robin, say hello to Adam Lind.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Listen, Mike, before I get started, I just wanted to congratulate you on another great year. I end up listening to a lot of games on the radio, and you and Jerry and Alan are almost part of the family. So congratulations on another great year. Really enjoyed listening to you guys.
Thank you very much, and feel free to invite us for dinner anytime.
Adam, I not to harp on the back thing, I just, as one more aside to that, I've always heard about how much more difficult it is on your body playing on turf as opposed to grass. So I'm wondering if after, a 9 or 12 game homestand, as opposed to being out on the road and playing on grass, if you notice the difference physically, particularly on your back. And if you don't mind, I want to ask you one more question aside from that. I've seen your ex-teammate Zibchinski have such great success with St. Louis. I know you probably haven't faced him, but similar type lefties. How difficult is it to face a guy that throws that kind of stuff? Those pitches look like they're starting behind your ear and end up a foot outside. It's got to be really tough to try to square that up.
Well, I don't think the pitch that you're talking about, starting behind my ear, is even his best pitch. I think his sinker is his best pitch. And, you know, when he was with us, he had some trouble commanding that for strikes, and it really, kind of nipped him in the butt when he was with us. And he got into a new crowd and, I think that guy in St. Louis was supposed to be one of the best pitching coaches in baseball. And,
yep,
you know, he said the right thing. He said the right thing, and, you know, I think Zeb's doing a wonderful job. He's a great guy, and it's fun to see, former teammates be in the postseason, let alone be in the World Series with an opportunity to win it. But the first part of your question, you know, to me, the turf never really bothered me. I never felt better at home or better on the road, I don't think. I just think it's more of the whole 162 games. Rather than turf and then part half the game I'm holding runners on the dirt anyways at first base.
And you know what? Just to tie the two questions together, Adam, Mark Zepchinski walks like he's got a bad back. So maybe that there were a lot of guys who were imitating the way Zep walked. And I remember a couple of days I came in when my back was out and they thought I was doing it.
Yeah.
But no, it's very interesting to watch him walk. But in the overall, with Zep and Octavio Dotel and before that, Sean Markham and Roy Halladay and all these guys who you used to play with getting a chance in the postseason, is that kind of, I mean, obviously you're happy for them, but does it make you think, you know what, that's where I want to be, that's where I'm headed next, or does it make you think, man, I wish I still had those guys around?
Well, you know, I got a lot of good relationships with some of those guys, especially Corey Patterson and Ryan Roberts, because came up with those guys, well, with Ryan. But I think it just shows the level of play in our division, you know. I think it's been not just this year, but through the past few years, you know, teams always have Blue Jay guys on it, and just goes to show how hard this division is. And you take our team, this is an excuse, it's just an example, but you take a lot of these, our guys on this team, we go to another division, and, you know, look what happens. I know it's talked about a lot, but, I mean, it's just how hard the American League East is.
Yeah, hands
down.
There's no question about it. It's the best division in all of professional sports. We've got time for a couple more calls. Darren is in Ajax. Darren, you're on with Adam Lynn.
How you doing? Two quick questions, one for each of you. Number one, Adam, I've had a chance to run the bases with my four-year-old, and I was just wondering, the area around first base is so hard. It's like concrete. Are all the fields around the major leagues the same?
Well, definitely there's not one field like the Rogers Center. There's creases in the turf. The dirt's not that. Pretty loose, like you said, it's hard. And then we call it the ice turf field because when the sun's out on day games, the field looks like ice from when you're on the field. But, you know, the first base is hard. You got to deal with it. You know, it's the same for both teams, and you just got to go out and make plays.
All right, thanks. And, Mike, do you mind if I ask you a completely unrelated question?
I guess. I mean, quick, though.
Okay, real quick, the pitchers on the mound, the ruling as far as them being able to lick their fingers on the mound,
yeah.
Can you clarify that? Because I watched a pitcher like last night do it and not get called on it, and I thought it was against the rules. And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Okay, that's an easy one. Pitchers are not allowed to go to their mouths while they're on the mound unless the weather is such that the umpires will already give you permission to do it, and that happens before the game. So if a guy ever goes,
no, that rule changed, I think last year.
Did it? Oh, all right. Tell me then.
They are now allowed to lick on the mat, not on the rubber, but on the mound as long as they wipe. And I think they did it to try and speed up games.
So they don't walk off. Scott Downs used to do that all the time. Take a few steps off just so he could do it.
I think this might have been the second year they could do that now. But at the same time, a lot of umpires don't catch it. It happens, especially in the World Series or the playoffs, when they are really zoomed in on the pitcher and you can tell everything that they're doing. I mean, that's a better view than the umpires have, those cameras. So pitchers get away with a lot. I don't think they mean to do it on purpose, but
if they're, you know, just
how it goes.
If they're just licking their fingers, they're not really loading up at that point. I mean, they're it's the other stuff that makes the ball act funny.
There's all types of ways. I wish I knew some of them, but they wouldn't tell me.
No, well, they won't tell me. Well, actually, I know a couple, but I'm not allowed to talk about them. We don't have time. We don't, because the ball game's going to start soon. So we don't have time for any more calls. But, Adam, before I let you go, the tradition on this program is to search through the stats and find something that you didn't know about your year. You remember this. Here's the thing. The biggest situation in a ball game, one of the biggest situations in which a hitter can produce is when there's a runner at third and two out, because you got to get a hit, a walk.
This is the same stat you told me like 3 years ago.
Seriously, you've done this before? Because this is pretty awesome. When you look up and down your season, your best situation was with a runner at third and two out. You hit .318 with an OPS of .1330. So that's kind of ridiculous.
That's a little bit different than it was a few years ago when you told me.
I wouldn't have told you if it was bad. That would have been.
Well, I mean, a few years ago it was like batting average with just someone on third with less than two outs. I think that's what it was.
This year with a runner at third and less than two outs, you only hit .333. But the OPS was 1,000, which is 330 points lower than it was with a runner at third and two outs, which is pretty cool. With a runner on third in general and only a runner on third, you hit .600. So I guess you like having that guy out of the corner of your eye hopping down off of third base. That's well done. So congratulations for that. Congratulations on another good power production season and a great transition to first base. And we certainly look forward to seeing a lot more of you out there and playing a big role in what we're all sure is going to be the future success of the Blue Jays. So enjoy your winter. Enjoy the baby. We'll see you when you come up here sometime over the course of the next couple of months. And then we'll see you again in spring training. Thanks a lot for this, Adam.
All right, Mike. Good talking to you.